Okay, so our roll call, we have Robert, Alan, Karen, and me. And Susan Byrne is here. And who else? Do we need everybody else's name?
Well, we can
for the notes?
In the minutes.
No? Okay.
This is fine.
I'm just checking.
And Ruth.
I don't want to forget anybody.
Okay. So four of us so far.
Okay, so we have a quorum.
Yes.
Now we should do the Pledge of Allegiance, but does somebody have a flag?
No.
You just stand and say the pledge. Well,
yes.
There's some stars and stripes.
She's doing the.
Oh, okay.
There's a flag on Sergeant Stubby.
Aww.
Are you opening here? Okay, well, here. There's multiple.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, we got it. All right.
Pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
One would hope.
Okay. Okay. Now we have to accept the agenda. Do we have a motion to accept the agenda?
I make a motion that we accept the agenda as printed.
Okay. Can I second?
You bet.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
I remember that one.
Excellent. Our newbie.
You should say it's probably unanimous.
Unanimous? Okay. Okay, treasurer's report.
We have money.
Yes.
That makes it simple for me, dear.
No, actually, I have more detail than that.
No, I'm sure.
Okay. This report was done before they transferred the account from the Bank of Oklahoma. So, according to this report, we had $21,000. $977.48. Susan and I went last week to close that account, and it should be closed by now, and the check is probably in the mail to the Elizabeth address, and then we will take that check and deposit it in the community banks. So
were they pretty good about doing that? I mean, was it easier to do this time?
It was not easy. We had to make a phone call, and we actually completed the transaction over the phone while we were sitting in Susan's car. It was an adventure.
Yeah. I remember that. We're done with them then.
Okay, in the Bank of the West, in our money market deal, we had a starting balance of $712,546.85. We then had a deposit of our interest, which is $1,270.87. So we have an ending balance at this point in time of $713,817.72. Our community bank money market. Okay, we had a starting balance of $682,720.22. It doesn't earn quite the interest that our other one does, but they're going to work on it. So our interest for the month was $144.96. So we have an ending balance of $682,865.18. They talked to Susan and I, and we don't know for sure, but they talked like that they would try to come close to our Bank of the West insurance for our money market. which if that would be the case, would be earning over $1,000. So that may take a couple weeks.
What does it take to get that?
Well, I think what's going to have to happen, I'm going to have to go in there and talk to who, I don't know if it's that same lady we were talking to, or I think it has to be the bank president, and talk to him and basically explain to him what we get at Bank of the West, and see if he'll match it. Because the Bank of the West deal, that was approved by their downtown office in Denver. It did not come from the Elizabeth office. And it was not, I hate to say it, but that took almost 2 weeks to get it done from there. It was not easy.
Okay, well, you could try and see what they say.
Okay, now, in our checking account, we had a beginning balance of $471,328.05. We then had checks and payments of like 50 items, and then we had deposits. So we ended up with a balance at that time of $594,666.70. And then I don't understand, but we had another transaction that came through after that. And so we have an ending balance now of $581,202.97. And Susan and I went and did a transaction for the our payroll account, which is a separate account. And we did that, what was it, on
Thursday.
And so, and this was to do the payroll. So with the addition of the $63,000 that was added, and what was in there before, we have a current balance, and this is before the payroll was done. So I don't know how this has changed, but before payroll was done last Friday, we had $139,786.54 in that account. So I do not have a total of what all of the accounts are, but financially, we are in very good shape. So, I mean, we have over $1 million in money market accounts towards whatever we choose to do once we get to that point. So we're in very, very good shape.
You wanted me to find out about the safe deposit box.
Yes.
And Nat looked through the meeting minutes and found Robert says he's able to hear and see, but his connection is not good. So, yeah. So anyway, but so we are not paying for that safe deposit box. That's free for us.
Wow.
And we went through all of the documentation in the safe deposit box and found that we don't have the title to the Elizabeth Building at 651 Beverly Street in the safe deposit box. So right now, I've got Matt trying to find that. We should have that title somewhere.
Well, yeah.
Because the building is paid for now. So, but anyway, that just more information about that.
Is there any other questions on our treasury report?
Nope.
By acclamation, I hope we approve that.
Okay. So
do I have to ask for approval?
No.
Do we have a?
No, we're just good.
We're just good. Yeah. We're good. Okay. Okay. So now the next thing then is the approval of the May 24th minutes. Okay. Do we have a motion to approve? Am I doing this right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
You second?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Wait, did you first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
She moved.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go second. Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Okay, so now we have committee reports. First one, community needs assessment committee.
So Robert says that he can't communicate with us. He says that the community assessment agenda, he met with me and Alan about it, but he can vote, but he can't really communicate with us, although he's here.
You can hear this.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay, good.
So, oh, yeah. Okay.
So do you want to talk about that meeting?
Okay, our community assessment meeting, the three of us met, and we have decided this is for our needs assessment deal. And
who was your third person?
Okay, it was myself, Robert, and Susan.
Okay.
And we had a very good discussion about all of the different proposals, which I think we ended up was like 8 different proposals, or was it 10?
Like 13.
Oh, we ended up with a ton.
Yeah.
And some of them were pretty off the wall as far as ridiculously cheap. And there was one of them that was ridiculously expensive. And we kind of went middle of the board. And the group that we would like to approve is this. This from this Mr. Dahlgren. It's Library Planning Associates. And their proposal is roughly, it's $36,000 and some odd cents. It's kind of variable based on what we have them do, how many personal things that they come into state and do surveys of. But this particular group has credentials like you wouldn't believe. I mean, yeah, they have done need studies in Moscow, several other library districts in state in the recent history. And they just seem like the most knowledgeable with the best set of credentials of any of the deals. A couple of the other deals had okay credentials, but this, if you look at their deal, they have pages of places that they've done need studies for, and have had several testimonials here where they've done. I mean, this is just the list of places that they've done studies for, and it is by far. Susan knows several people from other districts around here that have used this group, and so they come highly recommended. So this is what our group would recommend to the board that we go ahead with. You want to pass this back?
Okay.
You
need a copy?
You can
use
it if you want. Yeah.
Would you elaborate a little bit on why you thought it was such a good choice?
So Anders Dahlgren, the one thing, he's very, very library based, and he does a lot of, he can look at our statistics and kind of tell us, you know, where we're doing well and where we need to beef services up. And so he's just got a really, I mean, in the past, one of the ways they did it in different states was they would say, you know, if you have this many users in your community, you need a library building that's this size.
Right.
And they don't do that anymore because that's really not a practical way, but he knows so much about statistics, about you know, usage, and look, he can look at our numbers and kind of say, okay, you know, this is what I would recommend. You know, maybe this library needs to do this to try to reach out to the community in this way or something like that. So he's a, you know, he's just got a ton of experience. He's worked with two of my, one of my really close friends from Tennessee who had a really great experience with him. And then Robert and Alan and I called another colleague of mine from Tennessee who was still using him from Jackson, Madison, Tennessee. And so she talked with us for about half an hour about her experiences with him and just, you know, how good he was. So
that's nice. So mm-hmm. That's good to know.
One other thing, from our assessment study, it was, we were kind of given the impression he would look at all of the libraries mm-hmm. in our district mm-hmm. and make some recommendations about what possibly we might should be done with each place. It was not going to be just totally involving Elizabeth.
Right, right. That's okay. I kind of went through that email that she yep. sent, and that sounded really good.
Yeah, okay. No, I read through the proposal as mm-hmm. well, and it mm-hmm. seemed pretty sound, like, yeah. the steps yeah. that he was planning on taking.
Because he really, I mean, he just really addressed the things that we were looking for uh-huh. in the proposal. So, I mean, my colleague Dinah, sorry, go ahead.
Robert? One of the things that I'd like to emphasize here is that as we go through this, Alan and I, of course, do not have the kind of experience that Susan does. Sometimes you have to look at the decisions you've made in terms of a director, and it has impressed me to no end how much Susan has, you know, she's got such a good handle on this type of assessment that I was very impressed. And the talking with her friends and making these contacts the way she did, it really made it very easy for us, I think, to lean in this direction. So kudos to you, Susan. You made this very easy.
Thank you. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that. So if you guys are comfortable with this consultant that the committee is proposing, then you would need to vote as a board that this mm-hmm. is the one that you want to go forward with. Mm-hmm. And you might want to also specifically put in the motion, because I think in the proposal, he specifically says how much,
yeah.
How much money it will cost.
Yeah, it was,
was that the $36,000?
Yeah. $36,000
for the dollar amount.
It was $34,955.
What page is that?
That is on page 12.
I would make a motion to the board that we accept this proposal from the Library Planning Associates, and their proposed fee is $34,955 to go ahead with this assessment.
I would second that.
Okay. I might ask if there's any discussion.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Okay.
No. It sounds like it's really grounded in some solid ability to deal it, to do it for us.
Okay, so now I get to say, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Unanimous. Indeed. Yeah, I got that word now,
cool.
too.
Cool, all right.
Okay. So our next one is the Employee Handbook Committee.
Yes, so Susan and I met on the Employee Handbook and went over the details of it, and I think our next step is we want to send it over to the Employers Council for a review of our notes and proposal, and we're kind of mm-hmm. cleaning it up to take out some of the just formatting stuff that we had put in the red line, and I think once employer's council reviews it, we'll probably do one last, you know, tweaking of it and then be able to put a red line in front of the board. Is that what you understand?
It's already with employer's council.
Okay.
So I tried to submit it the night after we spoke, or that night. But then I had to do more paperwork to submit it. But yeah, it's with them now. So they've had it for about a week.
And, oh, okay.
I imagine it'll take, I don't know, 2 weeks, I think they said in the email, to review it or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe next month.
Yeah. And there were a couple of areas in there that we wanted them specifically to look at and just give us some particular advice. But but in general, they'll also review the full thing and make sure that we're not missing something.
Great. Okay, so, this is going to be the interesting one. The property tax meeting with the Board of County Commissioners. Who would like to speak first, Susan or Robert?
are you able to talk to us, Robert?
Yes, I am. I'm not going to go into very much detail. Suffice it to say, this was a meeting that was a bit contentious. Obviously, the groups that were sitting there, the vast majority who were first responders, there's really no argument that can be made that would justify asking people on those boards to say, oh, well, yeah, we'll cut back here because we have enough money for, you know, safety gear for our employees or whatever. It was kind of embarrassing in that regard, my opinion. But the second thing is that without trying to make any kind of a political statement whatsoever, we didn't sense, I don't, and Susan, you can disagree with me if you choose, we didn't choose to get into any kind of politicization by any of our comments or anything. But what the commissioners did was they brought in a number of people who clearly were there just for political purposes. Mm-hmm. As you're probably all aware, the county sued to try and keep ballot issue HH off of the November election. And it runs counter to a certain political stance that was expressed by two former commissioners, Mr. Rowland and Mr. Schlegel, and then all three of our commissioners. So essentially, we just had to sit there and listen to a tremendous amount of information about the upcoming election and why nobody should vote for HH. That wasn't supposed to be the purpose of this meeting. I thought it was very open. I think people tried to do their very best to make their case for their different groupings. Susan was quick to express herself in regards to the Ponds and Plains. I did not say anything to anybody until afterwards, in which case I did talk to a couple of the people who, I've known for years and years and years. And it was, like I say, it just turned into something that was obviously, and Susan, you can expound upon this. I'm not sure that they had any intention of actually asking anybody to cut their mill levy. Yeah, I think if people would come up and do it, they'd certainly listen to it. But this felt more like something that was aimed at a specific election here in 2023. Would you agree with that, Susan?
Yeah, I mean, it was, there were several firefighters who objected just because the way the meeting was publicized, several fire districts, because it went out first on public, on social media, So they didn't directly mail the special districts or anything like that. They just, they, that was the first, you know, they just sent it out on social media. But really at this point, there's nothing that we can do because we don't know what's going to happen with HH. So the district court judge said, no, it can continue, but now it's with the Colorado State Supreme Court, and they're going to be deciding in the next 2 weeks whether it can go on the ballot. And the issue is that the wording is very, very simple to be on the ballot, but the law itself is very complex and has many different layers. I gave you a few handouts today, that some of the ones that we got from the meeting today, or the meeting last Wednesday. So this one lists all of the special districts in the county, mm-hmm. and how much their mill levy is. And then this one with the chart on it has the red and the black writing, mm-hmm. and this is how it's supposed to change. So the law is supposed to be good for 10 years. And so this tells you year after year how the law changes. And then this flow chart here tells you there's a backfill. So it cuts money from what we get for property tax, but we're supposed to get what's called a backfill, mm-hmm. and this explains how we're supposed to get the backfill on that. So, and I meant to photocopy something for you. I did.
But at this point, we don't have any real basis for making a decision unless we know what the status of HH is.
Right, mm. right. So I think I gave you this in your packet, mm-hmm. this handout here. So the top of this tells you this is the Special District Association trying to summarize the 23303 for us. They're saying there's five parts to it. But this, at the very bottom, this is all that's going to appear on the ballot. And this tells you nothing about all the different layers yeah. of, you know, so really it's very complex. And the one thing that I did share at the meeting with all of the other districts was that if HH does go on the ballot, I will be preparing two or three budgets for you all to review. Jeez. And you may have to approve those and say, you know, this one is approved. If HH passes, this one is approved. If HH fails.
Okay.
So, so we may have to do that, but, that's kind of what we're looking at. But the upshot from the Special District Association is once we know whether HH is going on the ballot, they recommend that we contact our legal counsel and have them help us interpret everything, because there's this truth in taxation piece that we're supposed to do, which means we have to, it's like what we normally do with our budget where we have to post it in the newspaper, but it's a special vote that we have to post in the newspaper and make talk about at a public meeting. Mm-hmm. So it's a different animal altogether. So there's just lots of pieces. So this is more right now, it's still informational, but once, you know, things happen, if HH isn't indeed going to be on the ballot, then that will change things. And then we'll start to look more about how that's going to happen. So right now there's really nothing to vote on. It's just mm-hmm. kind of to start being aware about
kind
it.
Kind of in limbo right now.
Yeah.
One other thing, that it was kind of a tell this is my personal opinion here, when Kurt Schlegel at the end, who now is heavily involved in water districts, which is where he left our board of county commissioners and went directly to these water districts, and he's very influential with you know, what's happening with our water, et cetera. And he tried to kind of get a standing ovation at the end for the commissioners and everything else. And the only one who clapped was Kurt Schlegel, which I thought was kind of, you know, sad. But this is something that I think we all have. I mean, I don't want to say that this is perfect, that HH is perfect, or say how you should feel about it. But I did think it was inappropriate that, you know, every other thing they said is just how terrible it was and that the backfill wouldn't work and all of these other things. And they really don't have the information to make that kind of statement yet. So thanks for considering all of this.
Thanks, Robert.
Yes, thank you, Robert. Okay.
Wow, this is...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why I'm like, yeah, let's call the lawyers because I need some help because it's just very complex.
My sister's a lawyer. I'm going to go meet with her and say, what is all this? She works for the government.
That sounds good.
Fine one.
That's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we have any more discussion about this? Should we move
Not
on?
Me. I have no clue.
Okay. Okay, so our next subject is the SDA board member workshop.
Okay, I attended this deal, and some of the things we just discussed were covered the last 30 minutes of their deal. This is like from 12 noon till about 12:30. They talked about this, the property tax deal, this HH deal, and it was... At that point in time, it was pointed out to us that the different special districts would probably have to prepare multiple budgets based on whether the deal was on the ballot or not. And they passed out a bunch of things, of which we got some flyers. I got two, and Susan got, so each board members can have these deals. This is about having executive session meetings about bylaws, about, I got one, about things that we need to have or we should do to have executive meetings. And then there was a bunch of things here I made notes on. It was pointed out, apparently these are new rules that came in effect this year, of which I'm not sure we're in compliance with. We were going to check on this. It's like a $1,000 bond for each one of the trustees, and the treasurer, the bond for that should be $5,000. And that was just one thing. There was other things about we do not have to, if board members talk by email among themselves, that does not constitute a quorum. Let's say if three or four of us are shifting emails back and forth, it does not constitute a quorum, those deals, and we do not have to copy back or keep copies of those emails.
The situation is that email is a public record if you're talking about library business, and if you have, you know, three people on those emails, that can be open meeting. That can be, people can ask for that information.
You just don't talk about budget things.
So when I send you emails, what I should be doing is saying, this is just for your information. It's not for discussion or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So because we can't have a conversation via email because that will become part of
public record,
what we do. I mean, it's all public record anyway, but that would be a violation of our open meetings if we had a conversation about it.
There's a rules about we must post our budget for the year, and we need to list a public posting site for that budget, which I think we have complied with that.
We put it in the newspaper every year, so.
So we have complied.
And it's on our website, too.
It also talks about in our agenda, we always have times for public comment. It was one of the things that he pointed out to us. We should possibly adopt a standard that when a public speaks, they're limited to 3 minutes. This will keep somebody from coming in and taking over our meeting. It sounded like something we needed to vote on as a board, as a policy.
It may be already, I mean, there is a worksheet that's in your trustee handbook that talks about public comment. I don't think that we've put it in the policy manual to be part of the policy, but the board does have a procedure for that in your manual.
I was under the assumption that was covered.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it might. I think it is. I think it's in your trustee manual. We'll have to. We can look through that. You want me to look through yours?
Sure.
Okay. Our trustee manual or our trustee manual?
Yeah. Wow. I'm just kidding. There's. Be careful. There's some paper that will fall out.
Okay.
Exactly. It was also pointed out to us that there's a new policy that we need to keep employee records for 5 years now.
Okay.
These are some new rules. We again, there was, I made notes here. Any bid that we do as a board, if and when we get to our construction deal, if it's more than $60,000, it needs to go out to the public. That is increased from the $60K to $120K. Mm-hmm. So the other deal is, if contracts are over $500,000, they need to go to Colorado companies. And I don't know if that's Colorado companies only. Also, there's some new rules about on final payment. We need to publish the final payment, and we have to hold that for 90 days before we issue that 90-day that final payment. And then there's also new rules that there cannot be a public lien or a lien on any public property. So none of our property in the library district, whatever we own, can be liened by a contractor or a...
So they're not allowed to put a lien on.
Exactly.
If we have a problem with their work and say, we're not paying you for that, and then they...
This apparently also includes, let's say we have a hire a plumber to come and fix the hot water heater, and then for whatever reason, we end up not paying whatever the full bill is because we perceive something wrong with the deal. It has to be settled publicly without a lien. That company doesn't have the right to lien, let's say, the Elizabeth or any of our other property, should we have other property. At this point in time, the only current property we have is the assets of books and the Elizabeth building.
So I'm just to ask, what recourse does the contractor have if they can't put a lien on our property? Do they have to take us to court?
If I understood it correctly, they would go to some kind of mediation, and we would have to abide by whatever the mediator.
So are these new Colorado laws?
I was under the impression these were new laws that came about the first of the year. And so he went through a ton of stuff, a lot of which I didn't write down because I thought it pertained to water districts and stuff like that. It was talked about like condemning property to run a sewer line and various other sort of, I mean, it got, I won't say it put us to sleep, but it was hard to follow at times. But we had a good time.
Well, good.
Well, that's good.
So they also gave us two copies of the SDA manual. This is their newly updated. Alan has one. I'm supposed to get two more in the mail. So if anybody would like one of these tonight, you're welcome to take one. And then I'll have so there's a lot of stuff in there about boards, about special district association boards. So the trick is that we are a special district association, but we're also a library board. And so in our case, library law trumps special district law. So when
this was the deal here. Yeah. He went over all the different laws that pertained. And then I think these are also detailed in that manual deal, but this was separated out, and he talked about probably half of these deals here, and a bunch of these things don't really apply to us, but it's there.
So why don't I scan that and send that out to you guys, just so you can see?
That would be great. Thank you.
No, I've got my own copy, so I'll scan the law update.
I was just trying to see if they had anything that said library in here.
Yeah.
At this particular meeting, Susan and I were the only library district there. Everybody else was fire districts, water boards, sewer boards,
metropolitan
districts.
Yeah.
But we were out of the, at least for Elbert County. We are the only library in Elbert County, but there were other districts. I mean, there were places there from Douglas County, Arapahoe County. No other library districts chose to come attend to this particular session. I don't know why.
Was it statewide?
Potentially, they could have, because it was the publicity deal, the news deal, the notice that went out went to any. I get a subscription for special districts that they send me, and I don't know if the Elizabeth Library gets one, but I get one that has my name on it. I don't know why, our trustee board. It has assorted things on it. Most of the stuff in there apply to water districts and fire districts. Okay. Very seldom does it have stuff in there about library districts.
Okay. Maybe that's why, because library trumps them. So I guess.
Well, when you're looking at that notebook that I gave you, anything about the boards, you need to check the library law first for our library board information. So that's the most important thing there. Wow.
That's all I have, unless Susan has something more she wants to add.
No, I'll scan that the SDA law update and email that to you guys so you have that.
It's getting out of hand. The briefcase is coming out of the closet. Okay. So, yes. So now it's Susan's turn.
Okay, cool. I'll try and go through this really quickly. Just wanted to start with some staffing updates. You're probably wondering where Lori Van Court is tonight, and she likes to attend the library board meetings, but she is at a Town of Elizabeth meeting tonight about the senior center. And so they scheduled that at 6 p.m. And so we decided that Lori should attend that one so that she'll be able to update us on that one.
Okay.
And then other employee updates. We have two new employees, and we're lucky that they're both here tonight.
Oh, nice.
So this is Nat Nelson.
Hi, Nat.
And Nat is our new administrative assistant, and he's working 20 hours a week. So he works from 12 to 4 Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already been doing a lot of stuff, so we'll talk more about Nat later. And then Becca Fitzgerald, she was just here. Oh, there she is. There's Becca, and she's our brand new library service technician here for for Simla. And Abby Colopy, who was the previous one, is now a substitute for us. Okay. So we're not losing anybody there, but we've gained. And this is so exciting that we have both of our new both of our new employees here tonight.
Glad to have you.
Lori and Jen have been interviewing substitutes, and they've had 4 interviews so far and 1 tomorrow. And we just have some really excellent candidates for some subs that'll work at Kiowa and Elizabeth. And we have some rather large news from our branch manager's team. So Jen Yadov has turned in her resignation. And I brought you a copy of her resignation letter because she addressed it to you. And so we're all trying not to cry that we're losing Jen. Her last day is going to be on the 12th of July. So.
I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
What type of
healthcare industry?
So it's for a specialty pharmacy.
Oh.
And they specialize in working with patients who have like lifelong illnesses or terminal illnesses. And the team that I'm specifically going to be working on works on the technology that they use to communicate with the pharmacists, the doctors, and the nurses. So I'm beginning to help make the technology better. So it's,
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, break down some of those technology barriers and make it easier for them to communicate when they're going through, big things.
Right,
so. So have you conned a replacement to do our Halloween thing?
I know of 2 that would probably love to do it.
Okay.
And I could always come back and volunteer.
Wish you the best.
We have a good I've done that a couple of years, and it's great. It's a fun day. Fun day.
Can I come back or will I come back?
Both. Yes.
We're wishing you all the best.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a really tough decision. Last weekend was like no sleep.
Do you have to move?
No, it's remote.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, my God.
That is nice.
Yeah. So I could just, stay a patron also.
So this is her last board meeting because she'll be leaving us. So I posted the position today. So hopefully we get some applicants in for that pretty quickly and get some folks in. Hopefully.
We'll be missed.
Yes,
indeed.
Thank you, Robert.
Absolutely. So I wanted to, I did a couple things on the same sheet. I just wanted to share some summer reading program statistics with you about the signups so far. And I put it on the same sheet as a property tax scenario. So they don't have anything to do with each other, but I didn't put this in your packet because I was playing with this late. So this is pretty impressive. It's the statistics about our signups for summer reading program.
Wow.
So if you look at 2022, we had a total of 203 people sign up for our summer reading program, and we are only we're halfway, just a little bit less than halfway through summer reading, and we've had 580 people sign up.
Wow.
This
fabulous
year. So pretty exciting. And it's very exciting with the number of teens that have increased and the number of adults that we have. That's exciting.
Big.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the bottom is just me playing with the property taxes. Mm-hmm. So go back to when we were talking about property taxes. So, this is our actual budget, 2021, 2022, and 2023. And then, what I did was they were saying somewhere they said that property taxes were increasing by about 35%, but that's really only for residential. And we have multiple parts of our property taxes. We have business and commercial and oil and gas. And so I just took that 35% and said, what would happen if it was all residential? So this is not apples to apples or anything. So this year we're supposed to get in about $1.23 million in property tax. And if I just said it increased by 35%, that's about $1.66 million mm-hmm. in next year. But what we've already received so far in property taxes, we've received 59% of the budget already. So we've already received $730,000, but it doesn't come in. It comes in different chunks because we pay our property taxes different. They don't come in because we pay them twice a year,
right?
Basically. So anyway, that's just me kind of trying to get a handle on something that I can't get a handle on. The audit that you guys approved last month, we sent it to the state, so it's gone. We're done with that. I have a sheet of statistics for you in your packet, and our statistics are really strong. Program attendance is really strong. Our circulation is strong. We're going to see our program numbers increase quite a bit, even in June, because we had our kickoff programs at each of the library, and those were very, very well attended. So we'll see increases in our June programming numbers for that.
Question: do you think that's because of all the growth in Elizabeth?
We have new activity services guides mm-hmm. in every library, and they are all really strong, and they've really gotten out into the community. And Camber looking at us, they've been out to visit the schools, and they tried to get all the summer reading program stuff out to the schools. We're going to really work on doing that again next year.
Okay.
And maybe even have the kids be able to sign up mm-hmm. at before the end of the school year. So
it's more outreach.
Right. Okay. And also the the Elizabeth Stampede, they had a summer reading program for the rodeo, for the Elizabeth Stampede Rodeo. Mm-hmm. But we were not involved in that.
Yeah.
And so we've approached them and said, hey, please, can we be involved next year? So we'll be working with the schools and the rodeo to be a part of that next year.
Nice.
So just, working on some of those kinds of partnerships.
Sure.
So, also at the bottom of your statistics page, in the far, far right bottom corner, it just shows our budget progress so far. So we've spent, as of the end of May, we've spent $401,890.61 out of our $1.37 million. So we've spent about 29.33%. But if you look at, if you calculate how much of the year January through May is, that's about 41 2/3 of the year. So we're kind of under budget. We'll see how we do. And we've spent a lot in June because we had a lot of programming stuff. So we'll see how we do with June, but it's all good. We spent our state grant down. So that was due at the end of June. And we added a bunch of databases, which will be fun. So you just need your library card to get into those. We've got a new language learning database that you can learn like tons of new languages. We have a new genealogy research database, car repair, small engine repair, legal forms, consumer reports, and we've also added some Spanish language books for children as well. So I'll be talking more with you about the new databases because those are really exciting things that we've added. Facilities, we've added a new contractor who's going to work on grounds maintenance at Kiowa and at Elizabeth. So if you've noticed, we've actually mowed our lawn for the first time in I don't know how long. So that's pretty exciting. The building at Elizabeth, we've continued to have leaks, and I've got a contractor coming in to visit with that. I took Ellen to show him the walkway between our building and Safeway. And we used to have a really nice walkway that had been built in with ground cover layers and sheeting and like a layer of gravel on the top. And it's pretty much been washed away because of all the rain and also the work that's being done at the building site above us. So that's something, you know, Alan, you wanted me to bring that to the board tonight. So
that's something that we need to possibly contact the adjacent property owner and ask them what they're going to do for drainage. Because right now their drainage doesn't hit the drainage place that is supposed to happen on the north side between our property and the adjacent property to the north of us. Mm-hmm. And their stuff is diverting over about 8-10 feet and coming across our property before, that's what washed out the walkway, before it goes back to that ravine. It kind of meanders away across the north side a ways for probably a couple hundred feet before it gets back to the ravine. So I have a gut feeling we're going to need to ask the adjacent property what they're going to do, if they're going to work out some kind of, they don't have room for a retention pond on their property, so they're going to have to come up with a drainage deal to get to that ravine right away on their property and have some kind of a ditch, because right now they don't have anything. And hopefully, I don't know if we can go to the building department and ask them what's been proposed to them and see.
Probably could.
Because right now, there's no use in trying to redo that walkway or anything until that gets worked out, what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't there be plans on file?
Possibly, but I have a gut feeling because last time Robert and I talked to the city building department, they didn't have even a good plan as to what the heck was going on, because they were still doing dirt work on that eastern property. And so I don't think a final plan has been submitted for that yet.
We have to be proactive. I think Alan would agree with this. The city of Elizabeth is they're just kind of coming to age and trying to catch up with their development and what have you. And a lot of these things that would normally be covered, like, you know, all of the runoff studies and all of the different things that you would normally associate with, you know, an adequate building department, they're just not in place yet. And by the way, Alan, did you happen to check if the retaining pond ours filled at all?
It did get some water in it, so it is working. And apparently, it has not gotten enough water in it to go out the outflow yet. So right now, it's evaporation is taking care. It nothing has got to an outflow situation yet.
Good.
If we had another week of rain like we had previous, it's a possibility, but it hasn't got there yet.
Yeah. Well, keep your fingers crossed.
Yes.
So just a couple other facilities things. There's also a leak at Kiowa that we're looking into. And then the door, the Friends are replacing the door. Tell me again the date on
the 10th.
On the 10th. On July.
Have a,
July.
Yeah. The new back door and screen door.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. And then I just wanted to tell you about some upcoming time off that I have. Tomorrow I'll be off all day. My husband has a medical procedure that I have to be there for. And then I'm going to take probably a long weekend. I need to figure this out. In July to go visit my folks in Kansas and July or August. So there may be a couple long weekends coming up there. And then just kind of a heads up for next month, what I'll be thinking about. I'm going to be starting the budget draft work in July, and then I'll complete my self-evaluation for you guys, and I'll bring that to you at the July meeting. And then I think at the August meeting, you guys need to evaluate me, I think, or maybe September. It can August or September, I think. So, and you can kind of think about this. I think some ways that people have done it is they've chosen a committee to evaluate the director. So you would just have two people work together to come up with an evaluation for me. If you want to do it as a full board, you can do an executive session. But I don't know what you guys are most comfortable with. If you read through the handout that I gave you today from the Special District Association, it kind of talks about the times that you can take executive session. Mm. So we still have to record the executive session, but we can only keep it for 60 or 90 days or something like that. It has a different document retention period. So
yeah, I would be inclined to doing it with a committee just so you're not overwhelmed with all of us. It seems like a lot. Plenty of people.
Painless way to do this without a lot of angst.
So anyway, just if you guys want to think about it, I think probably I'll give you my self-evaluation next month. You can talk more about how you want to do it and then go from there. So that is my report.
Okay. All right. Item 8, policy manual revisions.
Yes. Sorry, I kind of spammed you once again with all of the emails that I sent. So the documents retention program, what we're proposing is joining the state archives group that tells what you should keep for documents for mm-hmm. retention. And so I made an example. I looked up an example. I didn't print it out for you because it's like 120 pages, 119 pages.
That's fine.
I thought, it's really long stuff. But so the way it works is that we opt in to be a part of this state group, and they even give us a resolution with the wording that we can use to say that we're going to be part of it. So one thing that I've always kind of thought about since I started was we have like 3 years of recordings on the website. Mm-hmm. We sometimes forget that we are being recorded. So we may have some things on there that were too private or you know, whatever that we don't necessarily. So I looked up in that whole retention thing, how long am I supposed to keep recordings of meetings? And it says, if it's an executive session, like if you guys decide to do executive session to give me my evaluation, we only keep that recording for 90 days after the meeting. But just a regular open meeting, you keep for 6 months after the approval of the minutes.
Okay.
So we've got way more on it than we need. And then when we record our study sessions, which we really haven't done study sessions because we're doing more of these small committees. For a study session, you would keep the recording of a study session for 6 months too. Mm-hmm. So that's just an example. Nat is getting really familiar with that. And how can you tell me how far back our documents go again?
Our documents consistently go back to the late 90s.
Wow.
We have physical documents. We also have a box from stuff like financial reports from 1969.
Wow.
And that box that goes back that far is a culmination of just a few years, and most of it is just financial reports or just really old documents that maybe like a budget here and a budget there, but consistently like payroll reports and budget reports and purchase orders and deposits, all of that that you would expect to have for like a year's worth of documents are consistently kept from about the late 90s to the early aughts. I started looking at about 7 years ago because, like Susan mentioned, this retention program that we're hoping to join has, the way they phrase it is they have calendars or schedules based on what the documents are, whether they're payroll reports, whether they're purchase orders or any amount of, there's so many of them. Like she said, it's like 100 and some pages.
Yes.
And for each of these subsequent different things, they recommend keeping those physical documents for a certain amount of time. And none of them exceed really 6 years, with the, of course, the exception of things that are on a permanent basis.
So like, I think like budget,
The final accepted budget for the year needs to be kept for on a permanent basis, and the annual financial report, which is interestingly not something that you see in the most recent years, in the last 20 years. We don't have a final financial report for the year. I'm assuming it's more of a digital copy that's probably somewhere on a hard drive than it is a physical copy. But like she said, the final adopted budget for the year needs to be kept permanently, and you're talking about, I don't know, a couple cubic feet of paperwork for each year. I mean, if you guys have been upstairs at all in the Elizabeth, you see those big filing cabinets. It's been, most of that is ready to be gotten rid of.
Okay.
Almost everything that is kept consistently, all the payroll stuff, all the tax forms, everything that I've gone through in those boxes can be gotten rid of.
Can you shred it?
Yes, there are a number of, and I'm sure Susan will get into it. I don't know if she brought a copy of the form. There is a form for each time you want to go in and get rid of thing, and that's why I mentioned the cubic feet, is because they want to know in that form how much stuff you're getting rid of.
Wow.
And there's several accepted ways of disposal. The cross-cut shredding, where it completely obliterates any chance of reading any information, and Susan and my personal favorite is burning.
So we can have a ceremonial fire out in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, she's actually wanting to talk to a fire. I'm not sure explain that as maybe a training thing for them.
See, I thought the Elizabeth Fire Department might like a training, opportunity to monitor our controlled burn.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm just a little firebug. So, but we can also, Kathy had another excellent idea today where we could bring in a shredder and then make it a community event. So, maybe have them shred for our stuff for the first hour and then tell the, from 9 to 10, and then have the community bring in their stuff on a Saturday at 10, and everybody can bring in anything that they want shredded. So
it might be a better idea than having people wonder why the library is burning paper.
It sounds a little iffy.
To kind of sum it all up, we have a lot of dead trees, basically.
Cabinets.
I mean, innumerable amount of sheets of paper. That it just they don't need to be held onto anymore. They really don't.
So this resolution that you're talking about, that is to join.
That's
so it's to join the state.
The state archives.
So it's the
Colorado resolution adopting the Colorado archives. Retention manual.
Mm-hmm. The retention manual. Oh, okay. I see. Oh, I see what it is. So we'd be adopting that as a retention manual.
So when you look on their website, and I think I sent you the link. I hope in an email. You can choose it. You can choose to look at it as a municipality, like if you're a town, or you can look at it as a county or special district. So we would be listed, if you look under the tabs of other special districts, we would be listed as one that had adopted this.
Okay.
Currently, Douglas County libraries are on there, and Arapahoe Library are utilizing this retention scheduling.
So do we need a motion? Or is the board wanting to look into this further?
It's
I personally think we need to jump on it, and it sounds to me
and
like we
get ready.
The second floor is in danger of collapse if we don't get on the.
What I will say right now, since my husband passed away, I've been dealing with cabinets of stuff from 1965. Oh my God, I have been going through everything, just ripping it up and putting it in the trash. Oh, and by the way, then something gets in my trash and it's all over the front of the place. I'm like, what is getting in my trash?
Well, then we should have a shredding event.
I know. Yeah, that's what I need to go. Yes.
Do we want to make a motion that we should?
Yeah. Sheila, you made the motion, right?
Yeah, I guess I am making the motion that we adopt this.
To adopt this
plan. Adopt this.
The Colorado Retention Manual. As our guiding Bible too.
Okay. Yes. So it's all. I mean, all you could just retention. Even just
right.
say,
yeah,
yeah. Okay. What's on that resolution?
Are you seconding?
I would second that.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Good.
Aye. Yep.
Thanks, Robert.
Unanimous.
I keep forgetting he's a little black box.
Yeah. Right.
Also mention that is something that we can put on the website. Along with any other policies that patrons or anybody else would like to see, it would probably just be a redirect to that special district's listing and schedule, along with the rest of the policies that we have.
Could you clarify that a little bit for me? I'm not sure that I understood that.
So on the website, I'm pretty sure we have listed our policies, like, for example,
we're going
to speak about it's the meeting room.
Right.
And just the that's the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other libraries, when we were looking into how to do this retention policy, have their policies listed on their website
for
the community.
Okay, thanks.
So I'll probably just put a statement in our policy that says we've opted in to this within the policy document. So.
Okay.
And good.
So the next thing on the policy manual revisions is our meeting room policy. So the state library sent out a notice from legal counsel with recommendations based on Senate Bill 2188, and that one is the Child Sexual Abuse Accountability Act. And so they're just recommending that we put some more kind of waivers and saying that we do not endorse the people that are using our meeting space. So I sent you this as the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then these are the changes that I made to the policy based on those guidelines. So I deleted that line where it says use of the meeting room, conference room, or facilities by any group or organization does not constitute an endorsement by the library board of the group's policies or beliefs. And I just used the language that from the legal advice that the library district does not sponsor, endorse, operate, or manage events and activities promoted or engaged in by those who reserve and utilize library spaces. And the sponsoring entity is responsible for all supervisions, operations, and management of such events. Pines and Plains libraries are not operating or managing a youth-related activity on its premises when a third party reserves and uses the library space for its own activity. So, and then I just added like these regulations. And then on the second page, I just added more terminology from the lawyer there. The person or party reserving the space for an event is fully responsible for operating and manage the event within the rules of the library's use of space and any other local, state, or federal laws. And then I made a couple other changes that were just like grammatical, because this was like saying do not attach, but I put it in passive voice to match the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then I changed they mentioned that the logo, they shouldn't use the logo on their promotional material. So I added that. And then that we want them to say on their promotional material, that the activity is not endorsed, sponsored, or operated or managed by the library or the library district. So those are my, and then I took out we instead. I wanted to make it more formal.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
on the last page there.
So I would move that we adopt the red line, the changes that you've redlined here.
I would second that.
All in favor?
Is there any discussion?
Do we want to, yeah. Do we? I have a question.
Okay.
Do we, when people come and rent that room, do they have to provide an insurance assignment?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
It was just a question because I do so many things and I have to give them my insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So we've never made it that formal. So yeah. That's a really good question.
So any other discussion?
Let me just ask one real quick question. I have a friend who Joanne McLean, probably some of you know her, used to work with various agencies in our district and what have now you in our district. Now she is working for the state, and they'd like to put together a couple programs where they would come out and do some interviewing and what have you, and they need a place to go, but it's the state that needs the thing. We wouldn't charge them for that, would we?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. All right. So yeah. I'll talk more specifically about the whens and wheres when I get back.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 From the box.
From the box.
And then the next policy is the Colorado Open Records Act. And so we have been fulfilling FOIA requests, but we didn't have it in our policy. Mm-hmm. And they brought it up again at the SDA meeting. And so I just kind of borrowed another policy from another library to add to ours. So the amount that's charged per hour, so the first hour per law is always free for a CORA request. But then the second hour, they keep increasing the amount. So right now it's $33.58 per hour, billed at 15-minute increments. That's, we can do that. The new law says that we can't charge if we email it, which makes sense because we're not photocopying, but we can charge 25 cents for a photocopy. Part of one of the things that the Special District Association was concerned about that I don't think it got put into law was that there's people that are kind of like data mining now. And so they actually will contact a government entity and say, will you create this report for me? They wanted to be sure, I don't think that's been put into law, but that nothing new would be created. So let me just double check real quick and see if I can find it right while we're talking. But just that... The idea is that we will copy anything you want for us, but we won't create a special report for you. Like, you
that
know.
Makes sense. That's a job.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I would have thought that went without saying.
Yeah.
Here's the record.
So yeah, the most recent changes, just that you can't, if you're emailing it, you can't charge a per page fee, which makes sense. You wouldn't mm-hmm. do that. And it also says that if you accept payments by credit card, you have to accept payments by credit card for CORA requests too. That's a no-brainer to me. So I didn't put that in the policy. And then it says The bill makes records of sexual harassment complaints against an elected official available for inspection if the investigation concludes that the elected official is culpable. But the bill requires that the records be redacted or blacked out to protect the anonymity of the accuser. But that doesn't, I mean, really apply to us because we don't have elected officials. You guys are not elected.
Thank you.
So anyway, but those are the latest changes to CORA. So.
Okay. So do we need to adopt this as part of our policy then? Mm-hmm. Okay, then I would move to adopt the proposed addition to our policy on open records and the form accompanying.
A second. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The box says aye.
That's our jokester.
Okay. And then the last one is more of a question for you guys rather than a I guess I get to whine for a second. I want you to be comfortable with this. So it's the finance policy, and I'm specifically looking at the purchasing section at the bottom that I marked with the box. Mm-hmm. So it says, if the purchase is less than $2,500, the director may make the selection without soliciting bids or proposals. But if the director expects the purchase to be more than $2,500, the director shall obtain quotes from three or more vendors. So I was just wondering if you guys might consider upping that a limit from $2,500.
Like 10 or 20? Yes.
Well, the thing is that I have to bring you contracts or bids totaling more than $25,000. So I don't know if you want to, how far you want to go.
Okay, based on the checks, POs and stuff that I've signed on the bills that we get on a monthly or yearly basis, most everything totals less than $5,000. So I'm thinking we ought to set a limit of say somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 max, and because whenever I sign the check, I see it on a monthly basis or on twice monthly. I sign checks. So,
well, we have a budget that we adopt and you have to work within that budget. So really it's a matter of what's the threshold at which we think there should be open competition.
Mm-hmm.
And well, 2,500's really low. I think 10,000 is maybe reasonable. I mean, I'd be willing to entertain 20, but you know, it depends on what you guys is.
Yeah. So I was doing the state grant and adding the database package that was just over $3,700. And we've already approved it. We've already paid it. We've already submitted the amount to the state. Mm-hmm. And I'm still scrounging around trying to get, I've only got two quotes.
I think you've only got one.
I have one quote. We're supposed to get it
scheduled
for Friday to get another quote.
Just to get a quote instead of actually moving forward with
exactly.
One that
so
rep is expecting to try to sell it.
I mean, I just know where I work, the federal government, my threshold is 20,000. Before I absolutely have to go out and get two other bids. But
I'm thinking, based on what upcoming costs, I'm thinking 10,000 is where we at, and then maybe at the end of the year, look at that and see if 10,000
I like
was
that
okay.
Point. Okay. I think
it's good. So if you read later, it says the. You know, the director may authorize the purchase provided it does not exceed $10,000 in that second paragraph. And then
that's if an emergency situation.
Right, in an emergency situation.
So we might raise that amount to something like 20 or 25.
Yeah, well, but it talks down here at in the next last two lines on that page, 25,000. Maybe Susan's thought there of the 25,000 is where we should be instead of the 10.
Yeah, I want to leave it up to you guys.
I think you're right. I think if we set that at the 25,000, then that kind of
all fits together. Okay.
And instead of having multiple tiers, we kind of.
Okay. Okay. So that first paragraph that I'd marked, so it would say, if the purchase is less than 25,000.
So 25,000.
Yeah.
The director may make a selection without soliciting bids. If the director expects the purchase to be more than 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in the next paragraph, if an emergency situation arises which requires an immediate purchase of essential items or services beyond 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
okay?
Okay. And then provided it does not exceed $25,000.
Now, this is emergency.
Right.
So do we want to
up
that 10,000?
Well, to 25,000.
We'll just leave the 25,000.
Leave it at 25,000.
Yeah. Okay. And then so I will bring everything to you, to the board for approval if it's $25,000 or more.
Okay.
Okay.
So I am moving.
I would make the motion. Okay. I'll amend my motion to be 25K instead of 10. Then we're going to need a second.
I second.
Any other discussion?
Thanks. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Fox says aye.
Okay. Now we have public comment. Do we have any public comments?
Where's the public?
They came in when they got their videos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other items? Business from board members?
No, ma'am.
Nothing.
No.
Okay.
So. Other than, you know, yes. I have great respect for Kathy coming out to Elizabeth to our meetings.
Yeah.
I was late today because I was driving in from downtown, so I was literally in traffic for 2.5 hours.
Oh my God.
but I was, as I was driving out here knowing I was going to be late, I was thinking, go Kathy, you're awesome.
It's a trek.
It's a bit of a drive. Oh, I saw the Rama Wildlife Reserve. That is amazing right now.
It's so full. Yeah, it's a reservoir that used to be spring fed, and due to Kansas water rights and things like that.
Yeah, it got really dry.
And it dried up, but it's filled from the top.
We used to canoe over there. Yeah, we used to canoe over there.
Yeah, it is full.
Wow. Okay, we're adjourning at 7:31.